Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's For Women. You are not 9 to 5 and neither are we. Conveniently open online 365 days per year, 24 hours per day.
I'm going to go to our guests who are in Studio Falchis Jock. Two guests are here to talk about their bilingual podcast, How to Gael. But girls, there's no Mokini look or any upper wally or anything.
Only if you want it.
According to their own marketing, it's more to do with bottomless brunches and car chats with your car jet. So two of the three how to gaelers, yeah, to mangle a phrase, join us this morning. Dearan ni glachán, agus siafa ni ruach. So falcha roiv.
Kermogad Oliver, Kermogad.
And Louise Cantillon couldn't be here. It's not because she's a presenter on Today FM,
no,
just in case people
no.
think we're being mean.
Definitely not.
And banning her from being here. So you'd be very, very welcome. Come here, how did you, the three of you meet? Did you, it was in TG Cahir, I believe you were working?
That's it. We were in TG Cahir and just, we kind of became obsessed with each other, didn't we, Shiva?
Yeah, I think we all kind of knew each other peripherally because we were all presenting on TG Cahir. And then it was a shoot day for an autumn launch a few years ago that we kind of all hit it off. And we said, we must go for a meal together. We were all in Dublin and we went for a meal and several margaritas, and How to Gael was born that night.
That was it. It was very millennial of us. Do you know, we were saying, we're having so much crack.
Yes.
What we should do is make other people listen
to
us.
Well, what we said was, do you know what's missing from this is three microphones.
There you
and
go.
Yes.
Some people have had that thought and it has gone well, but this one thankfully has worked as well. You also all grew up in families that spoke Irish every single day, Gaelclaw.
Absolutely.
And that's kind of vital. Where are you from? So Shiva, you tell us where you're from.
I'm from Lucan in Dublin. Yeah, I was born in Galway, but I moved to Dublin at about 5 weeks old. So I'm a blow-in, I suppose. But yeah, I'm raised completely bilingual at home, yeah.
And everyone speaks Gaelic.
Yeah, except my dad understands every single focal, but he doesn't actually speak much of it. He's from Inniskeen, actually, would you know?
Is he from Inniskeen, County Monaghan?
That's it, yeah.
Yeah, we had,
great
I think,
spot.
One of the last native speakers around Monaghan
exactly.
was Inniskeen. So he's no excuse.
No, he doesn't. No, he's great. Sorry, he understands everything and every single dialect you could think of because my mum was a principal, so he's been exposed to it all. But I will make a Gaelic of him yet.
Yeah, that's so funny. My dad is the exact same. He would have been very reluctant to speak Irish to us growing up, but now, actually, he's very good. He's speaking Gaelic at home. He calls the house at home the Gaeltacht. So we're afraid of him.
And you're kind of from everywhere.
That's it. I'm anyone's man for a gig, Oliver. That's it, right? But no, I'm from Clontarf in Dublin as well. My mother's family are all from the Gaeltacht in Moosgree. So we would have had a huge tie with that community and would have spent every kind of holiday and any time we weren't in school down there. But I am a Clontarf and a Dublin woman.
Where is that Gaeltacht?
It's on the Cork-Kerry border.
Yeah,
so it's a very small Gaeltacht Fúscaí. So it's Cúile is where she's from, but it's what we call a Brach Gaeltacht. So there's, you know, English and Irish in the place. So depending on who you're talking to, you'll get one or both.
What's Brach Gaeltacht? It's sort of a
Brach Gaeltacht. Yeah, I don't know. What's the English for Brach Gaeltacht? I don't know.
Some words don't have a translation in the Barla, do they?
That's it. Well, I'm very reluctant to admit or to commit to one this early in the morning. But I suppose it means it's not maybe, it's an area where the Gaeilge and English are spoken. So it's not exclusively a Gaeltacht area. It's kind of, yeah.
But it straddles both sides of the border. So this is a unique place
exactly
peace in our time.
There you go.
Both of you presenters in your own right as well. Shiva, where what do you?
You can find me most weekends on R&AM on Virgin Media.
Yes, we know you from the telly.
Yes,
which is you can be serious at times there.
I can if I have to be. Yeah.
But the podcast is then where you really let loose.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, we kind of cover any topic, anything that comes into our mind, anything that's been brought up in the group of WhatsApp is kind of the topics that we cover there. So yeah, well, you know what? We can get a bit serious as well, can't we, Dearan?
We can. We're very self-indulgent.
We like to bloviate.
Yeah.
So, you know, we kind of just sit back and
see where it takes us. Yes. Yeah.
And there's a lot of things. And you're still with TG Cahir as well. Yeah?
Yes, I do.
Presenting everything. They had to write a list for me.
Well, I've done a show a year for them for the last 7 years. And I did a documentary with them a couple of years ago on body image in young women. But yeah, so I'm on TG Cahir at least once a year. That's nice to say.
It was body and soul. And it was an interesting experiment involved in that programme.
Kurt Pugasanum. Yeah, we spoke to young girls about how they feel about their body image. And I suppose I spoke about my own experience. And yeah, look, it was just quite eye-opening, I suppose. Like, I had struggled with it when I grew up, and I don't think it's gotten any better. It's a bit bleak, but yeah, look, I really enjoyed being able to delve into it and being able to provide a kind of documentary like that on this topic that wouldn't have been available as Gaeilge when I was younger. So I think it's really important for, you know, people who live their lives through Gaeilge that they have access to anything that people who have English have access to in their own language.
Lovely point. Mm. Was it a cathartic thing then? You're saying issues around body image, they're still lingering. Yeah. Around.
Yeah, I suppose it was cathartic. I went into my old secondary school in Lucan na Gael Coláiste, and I spoke to some kids in there about how they felt about themselves. And now I have to say, a lot of them were, I think, had their head screws on a little bit more than I had at that age. So that was nice to see. But in terms of statistics and stuff and how people are still suffering, it's still a massive issue. No, it was. Like, for me, it was a nice personal journey.
Yes. And a more fun version,
Shra Hadó season 2 is coming up. It'll be coming out Virgin Media in the next month.
That's really popular, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. It's really fun. I mean, people love to watch Irish people on TV. It's kind of tapping into the, you know, quite universal Gaelic experience that people in Ireland had growing up. Mm-hmm. And there's also a bit of romance and people making age themselves. But they're very brave. Very brave.
Love Island meets the Gaelic. Unreal deal. I mean, they literally had to write a list of the various.
You're going to go through my whole CV.
With loads of things. And mm-hmm. Darren, you're also, of course, you present here, don't you? You do. Yeah. You're currently doing Tracks and Trails.
Yeah, I'm a presenter for the new series of Tracks mm-hmm. and Trails on RT1, and have a few programmes in the pipeline with RT Radio 1 as well. Yes. And on Teach Cahir all the time as well. So it's great.
And you've made a couple of things here before to radio.
Yes, I have. I had a series that went out called the Say a Song Project. I kind of deal with a lot more maybe arts and culture-y kind of bits. Mm-hmm. So I say I'm the resident nerd of how to play.
Yeah. No, you're just more cultured. I'm purely Ents.
You're a good crack.
Music is huge in your family.
That's it, yeah. There you go. Like, not only am I the nerd, I'm also the resident fiddle player. But you didn't know you need one of them, Oliver, but you do.
I'd say now the Head to Gael podcast needed a fiddle player.
We did.
Sorry, you've got 1.5 fiddle players. I can take a tune or two. Yes.
Yes.
Look at her. Look
she
at her
actually can.
Claiming the one spot.
You know what? I'm actually, after wronging you, something awful there now. No, she's a great fiddle player as well. And we had a live show in Liberty Hall and Fair Play Tour. We went out and played a few tunes together.
I came out of retirement, took the fiddle out of the case. My mother nearly fell off the chair.
There you go. Great. There you go.
I always think fiddle players are kind of ready to go at a moment's notice.
Absolutely, Oliver.
I'd say it's out. If you came here by car, it's probably out in the car.
Do you know what? It's never too far from hand anyway. That's all I'll say.
Summertime, the windows are down. You'll hear a session going on somewhere and then you're there.
Try and stop her. Try and stop her.
That's how it works. Yeah, images of the Titanic do come to mind.
Oh, God. Well, look, I mean, it's very early in the morning to get that.
Well, music is very important because composer Seán O'Riordan was your granddad, and your mother is a connection there. She's the new Nereida, so I presume she was kind of the inspiration behind. She's from the Gaeltacht, you mentioned, the Brach Gaeltacht.
Yeah, the Brach Gaeltacht.
But she comes up to Clontarf. Yeah. Are you like an island of Gaelcours then in Clontarf?
I suppose, you know. This notion that Irish is only spoken in the Gaeltacht is very, it's very dated. Mm. We live in an age where Gaeilge is now spoken more prominently in urban areas than anywhere else.
There are more Irish language speakers in Dublin than any other part of the country.
Which makes sense, in terms of population.
Don't
think about it like that.
No, we don't, you know.
Yeah, so it's a, you know, I think something that we really need to look at is how we put supports in place for people that do want to rear children in urban areas, exclusively Os Gaeilge. I, for example, am from Clontarf. Irish was my first language growing up. Mm-hmm. And I've gone the whole way through to PhD level, doing all my education all through Gaeilge. I've only very recently started doing a day's work in English, would you believe?
Really?
Yeah, only this year.
She's not bad, is she?
No, there you go.
You're very good at it.
Yeah, thank you so much. Yeah. But yeah, that's a whole new thing that I've had to kind of learn to come to grips with in the last couple of months, is how to do a day's work in English. Because everything has been through.
It was jarring for you.
Do you know what? Actually, I very recently came home to my parents and said to them, like, my social battery comes down hugely because I spent the whole day working through English, and it's a lot more, I suppose, taxing. You know yourself, especially when you're presenting and stuff, you have the idioms that you go back to the whole time and you're all reliable. Okay, yeah. And I find I do slip into Gaeilge, when you're getting tired and stuff like that, it's a lot more mentally draining to be trying to go into Bear that to do that. Now it's great to push yourself, and you know, I'm learning all the time. But
I'm now wondering what her idioms are.
There you
Shiva,
go.
Shiva, you might be able to.
Yeah. But yeah, it's this mad kind of, this is something that we do really want to get, I suppose, tackle with the Podchraile as well, is, you know, this nearly like fetishization of Gaeilge and this notion that we have of them that, you know, we all live in Connemara and, you know, we all play the fiddle. Only some of us do.
Just because the two of us do doesn't mean every Gaeilge plays the
fiddle. Not all Gaeilge.
Yeah. And one of the USPs of the podcast is, of course, the sense of inclusivity and multiculturalism, because, of course, you don't even have to be born on the island to Gael.
That's it. We really believe very strongly that this whole identity of being a Gael is something that everybody has a right to, that, you know, the Irish language is as much yours as it is mine, and it doesn't matter what your level of Irish is. It's, I suppose, more an outlook on life to be open-minded and to embrace the richness and the value that culture has to offer to us. You know, it doesn't matter what culture that is that you're drawing from. We have a lot more in common with African cultures and Middle Eastern cultures than we think. And actually, that was something that we discussed a lot in the Say a Song project, but it's something that we try to hammer home all the time, don't we, Shiva?
Yeah, absolutely. And I suppose me and Darren spoke earlier about how we were both brought up in houses that spoke Gaeilge only growing up, or mostly. And my mom said, like, growing up, that if we were in a siopa and, like, if someone heard her speaking Os Gaeilge to us or us speaking Os Gaeilge to her, that someone would whip their head around, and, like, it was very unusual. And she said it was, like, and I remember even when I was in school, people would be like, oh, that's the Gaeilge family, even though I went to a Gaeilge school, that it was unusual we spoke Irish at home. Whereas now, my mom said herself, she was a principal for many years, that she says the rise of multiculturalism in Ireland and the amount of children in classes with two languages at home makes it actually a lot more normalised for people to have that second language, whether it be Gaeilge or Polish or Russian, you know? So this kind of, like, rise in the diversity of our population is actually hugely helping the normalisation and the acceptance of Irish language.
Yes, yeah. And that brings me neatly on to the far right that we have now very active in the country, and how they have a version of Irishness that is to do with purity, and it's an invented thing, but it's like, go back to where we were, as though there's some imagined past where we agreed on what Irishness meant.
Yeah.
And they've taken over the concept of Irishness in recent times, haven't they? They've tried to.
Yeah, it's really... Even for ourselves, you know, when we're speaking about how proud we are to be, you know, Irish and of our Irish heritage, it would nearly make you a little bit reluctant sometimes, because you don't want to associate with any of the messaging that comes from, you know, far right groups. They're not representative of us as Gaeilge, as people that are, you know, bringing the language from one generation to another. And they're doing a lot more damage than good.
Well, I would just love to hear what their version of Irishness is. Like, is it like rotten institutions? Is it like, you know, the things that you can buy, which is, you know, not representative of our culture or our heritage whatsoever? So it's just completely at odds with what we think a Gael is and what our culture is.
They're sullying the flag at the moment.
Absolutely.
Even the four provinces, they've created that little flag and they've stuck it up in places around. You see it around the airport, and and there's one outside with the four provinces. Like, most people happily don't know what it means.
Yes. Oh, too much time in their hands.
I knew someone would know this. Brack, as in a brack Gaeltacht, means speckle or spotted. It's also the Gaeilge for a trout. Berbua, says Sheila.
Grandma Sheila. Fair play, Sheila.
I love when they kind of, those compound words come together.
Speckled. Speckled, that's nice.
Started as trout. She's got a speckled thing. You talk about literally everything in the podcast, the serious things you discussed, and sometimes just cleaning out your fridge. Those things go really well.
Yes, how to organise your fridge was a really hit episode for us, actually. And I think mostly because we exposed ourselves massively. We each shared photos of our fridges and we asked the listeners to guess whose was whose. And they actually got them all spot on. Because actually, I think if you open your fridge, it's quite representative of who you are as a person.
That's a good point.
So I think if we saw a picture of your fridge, Oliver, we'd know exactly if you were type A,
you
type
B. You are who you fridge. You are what you fridge. Jeez, who you fridge is a different thing. It's more crack. The podcast How to Gaeil is more crack than grammar. It's good fun. And you talk about your lives as well, I presume.
There are no boundaries.
No, there should be. But what we say is, like, we're not trying to teach people Gaeilge. Like, if you want to learn a language, you go to a class to learn a language. Like, we're not here to hammer anything into you. No matter what your experience was with Irish language before this, all we're doing is living. It's three white women in front of microphones. Like, there's a lot of these going on. Yes. Ours is happens to be bilingual, because that is how we converse with each other and that is how we live our lives.
Brilliant. That's the perfect summary.
There you
and
go.
And they're margaritas. I didn't get time to, but I'm crowbarring it in now. I think margaritas being Margaret and Mairead is the Irish for Margaret. I think margaritas should be called Mairead.
Oh my god! Hello.
There you go. Thank you very much to Dúirne Ní Dlathán agus Síofa Ní Ruach. How to Gael podcast is available all the time, forever. And we have to go for a break, so we'll be back shortly.